Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Can everyone hear me? Right. Okay. So, So today I'm going to be talking on shifting atmospheres, and I'm going to be reading from a couple of scriptures. So if you can turn to, or just listen, actually, if you write this down and go back to it. So Ephesians 6 verse 12, and then I'm going to also read Luke 10, 19. And here we go. In Ephesians, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And in Luke, it says, "Listen carefully, I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you." Amen. So, as I said, today I'm going to be teaching on shifting atmospheres. And to be totally honest, I am only just beginning to learn about this subject. And I really believe it's a key message for this season, because what I feel like God wants to do is to get us ready so that we can discern the enemy's tactics and learn how to use our weapons of warfare that we just read that God's given us, so that we can release God's power on earth into places and into situations, in our families, in our communities. So don't be blind to the unseen reality. Every Christian is in the midst of a spiritual warfare. The atmosphere around you and me is alive with unseen spiritual activity. There's a battle going on between forces of darkness and light, and many Christians have no idea how much the spiritual realm actually affects the way we think and the way we live our lives. So the first step to becoming victorious in the spiritual realm is to admit it exists. In Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Don't let Satan take advantage of us by being ignorant of his schemes." You may have heard preached that there are three heavens. There's the first, second, and third heaven. And I'm just going to give you a really quick outline here. So we live in the first heaven. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. It's the visible world we live in. So the first heaven is earth. The second heaven is where the demonic realm resides. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is the second heaven. And in the third heaven is where Jesus is seated in heavenly realms. God raised Jesus into the heavenly realms far above all principalities. It says that in Ephesians 1, and it's in 2 Corinthians where Paul calls this the third heaven. In Ephesians 1, it also says that not only is Jesus raised to these heavenly realms, but we are also raised up with Christ and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. And God has given us authority to trample on the snakes and the scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. So we, this is really important, we cannot solve second heaven problems with first heaven solutions. We need third heaven authority to solve the issues created by the second heaven. It is from this position of being seated in heavenly realms that we have authority over the demonic realms, so that we don't pray from a position of fear and we're defensive, like, "Lord, help me, help me," but from a position of victory, i.e. offensively, because the demonic realm is beneath our feet, only when we're in the third heaven. So we're called to be a light on a hill so we can draw people to Christ and release them from bondage. We want to see captives set free. For too long, many Christians have been asleep, unaware that our souls are oppressed by the demonic. And the key message I want you to take away today, if nothing else, is that you can either come under the influence of the demonic realm or you can go over it. You can be a victor or a victim. You can conquer or you can be conquered. It is time to rise and shine and partner with God and help shift the atmosphere of this world to bring heaven on earth. So first of all, what is a spiritual atmosphere? So have you ever walked into a room or a place and suddenly felt a heaviness come over you? You were absolutely fine before you walked in, but out of nowhere, you're feeling heavy or oppressed. This is what a spiritual atmosphere is like. And atmospheres can be emitted by people, so by ourselves and others, or it can be emitted by a place or a region and even a nation. And Donna De Silva, who co-wrote the book Sozo, which is a healing in a healing ministry, she also wrote the book Shifting Atmospheres, and she actually leads a transformational ministry over at Bethel. And she I recommend both those books actually, but anyway, she talks about a member of her team who used to be in a band, and as a band, you know, you travel around doing gigs, and then they realized that there was one county that whenever they had to perform there, it was as if like hell broke loose and the whole band would argue and they would just say, we're never ever going to play together again. And it happened every time they crossed the county line, and this it got so bad that they all vowed that, okay, when we're in this county, we're not allowed to say anything to anybody, because you know they would just fight. So depending on where the atmosphere is, there are different ways to shift it. And I'll talk a little more about that later. So first of all, how do you discern the spiritual atmospheres and forces at work around you? Discernment is perhaps the single most important tool needed when shifting atmospheres. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it says that discernment is a gift of God, and God wants us to grow in this gift. Discernment is the ability to see what Holy Spirit is doing and to distinguish between good and evil. In the past, the gift of discernment has been rejected from many churches because of misunderstanding and misuse of the gift. I.e., it was often used in manipulation, in control, in suspicion and judgment. And it became so devil-focused rather than God-focused. And many believers misunderstood the meaning of love. So then the church had to work really hard on building a culture of honor. And then what happened on the opposite scale, many churches went for love, they pursued love, but then began to tolerate all forms of sin because we became too afraid to confront the sins. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said that the enemy sends distraction in pairs of opposites. The enemy sends you distractions from one extreme, and you'll hate that, and what you'll do is you'll run straight past truth and then over to the other extreme. Because the enemy doesn't care which side of the horse you fall off as long as you fall off. So the church, we became devil-focused. Everything became a demon. It was all about a demon. And there's that Jezebel spirit. And we got scared. And we became counterfeit because of fear and because of control. And most people then swung past the truth because of this fear, to everything's all good. There's no demons. Hence, many of us don't realize that our fight is not against flesh and blood. We think it's our spouse or our kids, but it's actually with the demonic realm. So the purpose of the gift of discernment is actually an invitation for us to partner with God, to pray and intercede and to release what God is doing, his heavenly solutions. It always leads to redemption, transformation, and hope. It always draws us towards God And any other goal is actually not from God, because discernment used in the wrong way, i.e. to judge, to control or manipulate, that is not from God. So how do we grow in discernment? Because it is a seed, it's a gift, and we have to grow in it. So what we need to do is that we don't look at the counterfeit. So we don't become devil focused, but we look at God, we look at the real thing, we look at the truth. And you might have heard this before, where people in the fraud squad, when they're identifying notes and currencies, whether it's real or not, they will actually study the real thing. They will hold it, they'll feel it, they'll study it, they'll smell it, until they recognize it just by touching or just by seeing. This way, when something is fake comes along, they'll immediately sense that something doesn't feel right or something doesn't smell right. And this is exactly how it is when we discern whether it's God or whether it's another spirit. It might sound biblical what you're hearing, but something just doesn't smell right. That's Holy Spirit. That's discernment. There's only one true weapon when it comes to standing above the spiritual realm, and that is an intimate relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need relationship intimately with all three Godheads. So praying, meditating, studying His Word, pressing in and seeking His presence, being in fellowship with other Christians, serving, being discipled and discipling others are some of the key ways to follow Jesus. We also need to be careful not to allow broadcasts of worldviews, of bad news, social media to influence us, but instead grow more and more in the awareness of what God is saying and doing. Truth is in His Word. So also beware of deception. It can so easily sneak in when you're not looking. Deception is an absolute blinder, because when you're deceived, you cannot actually see it yourselves. This is why we need God's Word to align ourselves. We need Holy Spirit to show us what is true and what is not. We also need godly friends who know us and love us to have and to give them permission to speak into our lives. It also keeps us humble, because when we're deceived, automatically positions us to live and act defensively in fear instead of responding to God's leading, which is in peace. So like in any other gift, it comes as a seed form. We need to press in and grow in it. We get to practice, and it's okay to make mistakes because we're only learning. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." So often, when it comes to discerning an atmosphere, I tend to have a feeling or a sense that something just doesn't feel right in my spirit. Others might see angels and demons intervening, as well as hearing the atmosphere's broadcast. These people are called seers, a bit like what Clive talked about earlier. So seers will have a unique gift to see in both physical and spiritual realm. It is more common to see pictures internally and in dreams, which is how I tend to see pictures and dreams. But both ways are powerful. So to begin discerning spirits, we need to start paying attention to how we feel in different environments, around different people. Take notes and ask others how they experience these same places. Ask yourself this: are you calm everywhere you go? Or are there places or people who just make your skin crawl? All these feelings may come from the spiritual atmospheres governing the area. Start being aware of this. Your thoughts and feelings are not always your own. They can either be from God, from the devil, or from you. if it's not your norm, then it's not you. And if your norm isn't peace and joy, then I recommend Sozo. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So I love what Bill Johnson said. He said, you can only release peace into the atmosphere when you're at peace within and can sleep during the storm. See, when I'm in my own storm, it's almost impossible to shift someone else's storm. You will have more success discerning atmospheres if you do not agree or come under their influence. The healthier you are, that is body, mind, and soul, the more effective you will be. For instance, if you're struggling with something like sexual sin, do not counsel anyone with sexual sin. In Genesis 4:7, it says, sin is crouching at your door. You need to master it, or it will master you. So make sure to pray through any issues you face before starting your own journey, working towards discerning atmospheres. So the first thing to take care of is your own atmosphere. Ask yourself, what atmosphere am I giving out? What's my atmosphere in my home? We need to make sure we have peace first, peace and joy, love, peace and joy, and find our normal before we can engage in spiritual warfare. So our declarations are powerful. Our words are powerful. When we speak into the atmosphere, it is like a seed that we are sowing into that atmosphere. So as you go throughout your day, consider this. What am I seeding into the atmosphere? Is it God's truth? When people are near me, what reality am I sending out? The goal of shifting atmospheres is not just to fix our city, our regions, or homes, but it's also for us to learn how to steward our own broadcasts. Because we're called to be carriers of God's kingdom, to bring heaven on earth. Are you bringing heaven into your situations to people around you? It all starts with our hearts, church. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. That's Matthew 15. And above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's Proverbs 4. And we guard our hearts by stewarding what we allow into them, like what we hear, who we hang around with, all those things. And we look at what comes out of our hearts, and then we adjust according to how Holy Spirit reveals to us, so that what comes out next looks more and more like Jesus. Okay, I hope you can hear me. So you can shift the atmospheres over your heart by first identifying the mindsets that drive your actions. So these are the mindsets that are at the root of your normal. So they either come from a truth or they come from a lie that's been accepted in your life. If it's a lie, you must work with the Holy Spirit to uproot its influence. So inner thoughts like, I can't trust anyone and no one likes me, are rooted in past experiences where you've been hurt. This is why many people who've been hurt in previous relationships have trouble opening up to others, because their inner beliefs are broken by the pain and the way they see life is distorted. And it's out of these inner beliefs that we broadcast this into the atmosphere. So what happens is that people begin to pick up and respond to them. So just to give you an idea, I've actually, there's more than this. There's a list of, I'm just going to list 10 examples of lies that are related to mindsets that are not of God's. So just listen, see if you, you know, can relate to any of them. So first mindset, lie mindset, is everyone is against me. No one cares about me. That's a victim mindset. Number two, I have to fend for myself. That is an orphan mindset. Number three, success is achieved through sabotaging others. That's a bullying mindset. Or number four, I will never succeed, not me. That's a hopelessness mindset. Five, God doesn't care if I do this little sin. Did he really say that? That's a deception mindset. Number six, it's okay to lie a little to keep the peace, right? That's actually a manipulation mindset. Number seven, I have to make sure people's intentions agree with mine. That is a control mindset. Number eight, it's my job to make people happy. That is a performance mindset. Number nine, I am doing so much better than all those other guys. That is a pride mindset right there. Finally, number 10, I'm just a realist. I say it how it is. The glass is half empty, not full, not half full. That is a pessimistic mindset. I'm sure many of us can identify with some of these. And you see, when we partner with these, any of those type of ungodly mindsets, we will allow their messages to be broadcast from our hearts. So pay attention to how people respond to you. If there is a pattern, it is quite possible they're simply responding to the messages you are releasing. It's not enough to simply identify the mindset to reverse its effects. Freedom from these wrong mindsets come only when we remove the lies and exchange them for God's truth. This is how we renew our minds and strongholds are broken. If you would like to know more about how to do this, I really recommend Sozo. There are some great tools there, and there's a, you know, start with a book to actually start looking at anything, that any wrong mindsets that God wants to reveal truth. So as you take ownership over the lies in your hearts and exchange them for God's revealed truth, you will actually have a greater freedom. And the atmospheres we release will change. So how then do we actually shift an atmosphere? Begin small. Start by shifting your own atmospheres. Find your normal and get rid of anything that hinders. You know, Clive prayed this about uprooting trees. You know, if there's some bad trees in there, uproot them. Any lies, any wrong mindsets. The most common way we pick up atmospheres is actually through our senses. So actually, this is how we receive, you know, we hear from Holy Spirit. It's through different senses. So it might be through sight. It might be through smell, believe it or not. It might be through taste and even touch. People will feel what goes on around them. So start paying attention to the subtle shifts in your moods throughout the day. For many Christians who are feelers, you know, they feel Holy Spirit, they feel something in, you know, in their spirit that's not right. This teaching on shifting atmospheres will bring a much needed relief, because finally, having been told that most of their lives they are either crazy or just hormonal, they now have a language to describe their unique way of discerning. I love this story that Dawna shared, that she woke up one morning and they were on a ministry trip with a team, and she was in a really bad mood. She prayed and asked God for a better attitude, and she got ready. After she got ready, she found herself getting even more and more frustrated. By the time she got down to breakfast, she was in a really irritable mood, and she didn't want to hurt any of the team's feelings. So she said, "Hey guys, just to warn you, I'm feeling really hormonal. So if I snap at you today, don't take it personally. It's not you." And she looked around, and all her team's reactions were like, "Yeah, not bothered." It was like, you know, she felt, you know, she actually felt annoyance coming from them. So she asked them, "Is anyone else feeling irritable?" And every single one of them said no. At this point, Dawna recognised that there was actually an atmosphere of grumbling hovering over that region. So she took her team, she asked God to forgive them for partnering with this grumpiness and commanded it to leave. And instantly their attitudes shifted. It was really, really simple. So being aware of what's yours and what's not yours is key. It's really important to remember, if it's not your normal, it's not you. You need to know what your normal is. And one way to do it is always check yourself before you walk into a room or you walk into a door. Ask yourself, how am I feeling? And then be aware if anything feels different when you walk into that room. And if the atmosphere or what you're feeling is different, then it's likely not to be you. So when we pray, did you know we pray from three positions? We pray from a position of faith, we pray from fear, or we pray from a position of selfish ambition. So when we pray from a position of fear, the enemy is present, and our fear actually empowers the enemy through our agreement, and we end up adding fuel to the atmosphere. So, but in order to cancel that agreement, we can worship, we can pray. Learn to go over the demonic atmosphere and not under, because whenever we feel we're under it, we're not over it. So praying in tongues is a really powerful tool. Just keep praying and worshiping until this lifts and you're no longer under the influence of this atmosphere. This way you will have peace and you will be able to come over it. And the tool that Dawna De Silva teaches is this. Write this down if you've got a pen and paper, because this is such an amazing tool. So she said that when you recognize that an atmosphere is coming at you and it's not yours, ask Holy Spirit this. What is this spirit that is coming over me? And then say you hear its rage. Then pray this. Spirit of rage, I see you and I'm not partnering with you, and I send you back. Then ask Holy Spirit what to release instead. It's normally the opposite, but ask Holy Spirit. This is a really simple tool, and I have been practicing it. And it's been remarkable how much success I have seen. And in resisting and not coming under certain atmospheres from people and places. So there's one time I was feeling absolutely fine, at peace, really enjoying my day. And then someone came up to me and started to speak to me, and they were angry, they were complaining. Have you ever had that, church? And instead of reacting and partnering with that atmosphere, I actually recognized that the anger was not coming from me, but it was coming at me. So as the person continued to rant at me, I just prayed silently under my breath, spirit of rage and complaining, I see you and I'm not partnering with you, and I send you back. And then said, I release peace, I release joy over this person right now. I think I prayed this under my breath for just a couple of times, and it was almost seconds later that the person just stopped and then apologized and just said, oh, I'm so sorry. Let's just have a nice day now. And we just had an amazing day after that. I just could not believe how quickly this prayer worked. And I was just absolutely amazed. Just to point out, as you're practicing, you don't say it out loud. You don't look at the person and say, I see you and I'm not partnering with you. Can you imagine? We always honor, remember. So, as I said, I've been practicing this, and I've since prayed this prayer several times in different situations, and I've seen the same results, some quicker than others, but the atmosphere has shifted. So the results have been definitely measurable, in that I've really learned a great tool, which I want you guys to start using, to manage the atmosphere around you so that you can keep your peace, because you know what? It's really easy to partner with ungodly mindsets and not be even aware of it at the time. Instead of taking captive those thoughts, we embrace it and run with it as if they were our own. And it can take a while to recognize that we've actually entertained thoughts that were coming from an outside influence. But when you do, just repent and hand that lie back to God and ask Him to release the opposite. With atmospheres in places, the same tool can be used and the atmosphere will normally shift quickly. But with regional broadcasts, it usually takes longer, as rulers and principalities have been given permission to rule over these regions. So we don't cast it out, but we displace it instead and release what Holy Spirit says, which is usually the opposite. As I draw to a close, some important things to note. Jesus did only what the Father was doing. We too are to follow His example. Always check, is it Father God speaking to me and giving me permission and authority to pray or to cast out or to displace? Don't be like the sons of Sceva who had no authority driving out demons. They ended up being attacked and stripped naked by the enemy. Watch out, there's no agenda when shifting atmospheres or in discernment. If it's just you discerning and wanting to manipulate and control situation, then it's not doing what the Father is doing. Watch your motives. Love and honor for God and others is always paramount. I got this picture yesterday as I'm just drawing to a close. And it was one of the Star Wars, I can't remember the name of it, and it was the Last Jedi as well. And it was a Rey. There's that scene where Rey finds the lightsaber under the box. And then the next picture I was reminded of was when Rey was then training and fighting with the lightsaber. And this is what I felt the Lord was saying to us. He's already given us the sword, which is the word of God, Holy Spirit. But many of us have put it away in a box on top of a shelf or under your bed. It's time to find it. You need to dust it off and get it out and start training yourself up, because God is preparing you and me for battle. So start wielding that sword as we partner with Holy Spirit. Finally, remember, the enemy is real. We are in a warfare. Do not let fear lead you into a false belief that there is no enemy. God is calling each and every one of us to pray from a position of offense and not from a position of defense. Yeah. Start pursuing discernment today and lean into the Holy Spirit. He has given us all power and authority over all demonic realm. It's time to get out our sword, church. You are seated in heavenly realms and we are called to bring heaven onto earth. And that is to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.